it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. I look around and I see prophecies fulfilled and the signs of the time. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." Yeah. At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ, when Jesus steps up.
Fornication and adultery, sinning against your own body. You really need to hear this warning. You really need to hear this broadcast. And you need to share it with your friends and family. Call somebody. I'll be right back.
We'll be going
home. Going home. Wow. What a day. What a day.
I look around me and I see promise.
My dear friends, we are really at the door of his coming. I think we all know that. We look at Ukraine. We look at the vanishing plane. We look at all over the Middle East. We look at the church world. We look at the economic situation. We look at the, you know, the political landscape. Everything you look at looks like it's on the very edge of disaster. Everywhere you look, it is sorrow, it is brokenness, it is trouble. Politically, there's no solutions. They're hopeless. Who knows someone who really could get up there and do the job with the right perspective and the right moral life to back it up? Well, we're living near the coming of the Lord, and fornication and adultery is destroying a multitude of Americans, and of course, all over the world. Fornication and adultery. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about fornication, what it is. Then we're going to talk about adultery and what that is. And I'm telling you, there's a multitude out there right now living in adultery that have no idea. They refuse to admit biblically where they really are. The preacher will not preach about it. There is no true Bible teaching in most quarters about it. And here we are watching people dying and suffering. We see so many that are bedridden and so sick, and they live only by the drugs that they get from the pharmaceutical world, and do not understand that their problem is not physical, their problem is moral. Their problem is their sexual sins have caught up with them, and their body is falling apart. Their body is falling apart. Now, I really hope you will get in the middle of this broadcast with me, and let's really take the questions, and let's get to the heart of the matter, and let's do something about it. Now, I want to give you a gift today. Excuse me. Fornication and adultery, sinning against your own body. Here is an article that I have written that is full of the Bible, that is very careful in its language, that is very kind in to the best of my ability. I mean to the best. And I want to give it to you so you can distribute it to your family and to your children. And give your pastor a copy because he needs to preach a sermon on this subject. Fornication and adultery, what it is doing to your body. What it is doing to your spirit. What it is doing to your emotional person. What it is doing to the whole of your being. Why you are so bedridden. Why you are so sick in body. Why you are so emotionally disturbed. We hear now today of the multitudes of people who have bipolar. You know what bipolar is? It's just a messed up mind. An undisciplined person, a person out of control, a person emotionally sick and deeply troubled. Well, I want to give you this article. I want you to dig in and learn and read and then tell the story to every friend you've got. Make copies. I mean, you really do need to get this information. So call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And then remember, email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek, P-A-W. Make sure you spell that Paul Creek right. P-A-W, like a cat paw, C-R-E-E-K, paulcreek.org. And let's have a great discussion together. Let's talk about this business of fornication. I think of how many people I've known who was happily married, at least to as much of a degree as most people are today, and one or the other, man or woman, began to flirt around and fornicate around, and then soon they get to fornicating with this person, and they decide that they'll leave their husband and their wife, and then this man and woman will get married, and then they live in adultery. See, it's fornication when they are having sex with someone to whom they're not married. But when you are married to someone out of biblical order, that's adultery. And so we have a world full of people who are either committing fornication or adultery. And most people who fornicate a while, they then commit adultery, and often with the same person they've been fornicating with. And so two homes are broken up. The kids are left in disarray. We deal with so many children in our school that come from broken families and broken homes. And so often the children are so frustrated because they, you know, they're constantly in this war between mom and dad, between a stepmother or a stepfather, and it just is terror for the kid. It is terror for the kid. And parents who get to fornicating and committing adultery don't seem to care. We had a lady that walked up to my wife some days ago here at the school and said, I want to tell you I've moved into a different home and I've quit shacking up. I mean, she actually used the words about her own self. She had quit shacking up. And I thought, wow, what a joy that is. What a delight that is. I'm so glad the atmosphere here at Paul Creek School will set some kind of tone for that. We don't ride a hobby horse on it because so many of the people, we're dealing with the kids and they're just wounded. They're not the ones to deal with to begin with this root of the problem. We just deal with trying to be a blessing to them and lifting them out of the moray, the sorrow in which they have found themselves. Well, I want to hear from you now. Call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, okay? And email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, let me read to you, thou shalt not commit adultery. Did you know God said that? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Look at verse 17 of that same book, Exodus 20. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant. Notice, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Do you realize how many people today that walk around looking at women and coveting every one of them that they see and undressing them in their mind and figuring out how their body would appear in a bedroom setting and coveting, coveting, coveting? Do you understand what that is doing to our culture? Do you understand the brokenness, the sorrow? Do you know what children are going through with mom and dad off running around after some other person other than their husband or wife, the mama and dad? Friend, I cry out to you today. Listen to Brother Chambers, and let's repent. Let's turn around. Let's go back to Christ. Let's go back to the grace of God and the beauty of His mercy. Now, let me tell you what I'm giving you again. Fornication and adultery, sinning against your own body. It's an article. Quite an extensive article that will help answer the question and hopefully help you turn around. It will give you some picture of how terrible it is out there and what has happened. Did you know that sexual sins are the darkest sins in the human family? Sexual sins are the darkest sins in the human family. Sexual sins are against your own body, and they will literally destroy you mentally. They will destroy you physically, and they will destroy you emotionally. Sexual sin will make a wreck out of your life. Every sexual sin is a work of evil spirits and cannot be taken into your life except in fellowship with devils. Sexual sins in the Bible are always judged with the strongest judgment. Not one person guilty of sexual sins will enter the kingdom of God unless they repent and turn from that sexual sin and are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. For an individual to claim the blood of Jesus or to testify that they are a Christian as a believer while they live in sexual sins is an abomination before God. Do you understand that? You say, Brother Chambers, I can't handle this. You must learn to handle this, and we must understand what we're dealing with, and we must get our lives straightened out across America. Do you understand the multitude that will be in eternal judgment in the lake of fire because they could not overcome their sexual sins? They couldn't rise above their lustfulness and the way it had gripped their very life. The Bible makes it plain, my friend, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. The Bible says, flee fornication. Listen to this. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, if you want to go look it up and make sure it's in your Bible. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. That's sex between two people to whom they are not married. It can be heterosexual sex. It can be homosexual sex. It can be lesbianism. It can be any kind of sexual sin between people. Any kind of sexual sin between people, you know, and adultery is when those people in sexual sins decide to marry their sexual partners, leaving their wives, leaving their husbands, breaking up their home, breaking the hearts of their children, breaking the hearts of those little daughters when it's the father, and those little sons when it's the mother. It seems to be that way often, not always. That's not total, but a perspective. I'm telling you, friend, sexual sins are just plain destructive. They are terrible. Oh, God. I sit here with weeping in my heart to think of the many people I've known who lived in sexual sins. Think of preachers who would be, you know, pulpit people, and then they would get all caught up in some particular woman, a girl, and they would leave their wife and take off with this person and wind up married with them, and then go back to church, often living in adultery, go back to church and claim to be religious, and many churches will accept you. They just want members and money. They don't care how you're living. They don't preach any real gospel to you. And I had a man come to me, what, 2 years ago, had a big day on Mother's Day and dedicated a bunch of children. And almost every one of them were husbands and, no, mamas and daddies with different names. Now, I know a few people do that, but not normally. You know, those are liberals who don't have their brain in gear. But listen to me. I'm here to tell you, when you think of a church dedicating children with men and women living together outside of wedlock, you can't dedicate a child in a situation like that. I mean, the man and woman are living in sin. How can they raise a child to fear God? How can they raise a child to do right? You know, we're living in such a day that this kind of thing is taking over our country. Let me read that again now. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Now notice, listen, you got to hear this. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body or outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Do you understand that you cannot be emotionally healthy? You cannot be physically healthy. You cannot be morally healthy if you're living in sin, if you're committing fornication or living in adultery. How many people do I know? I mean, it breaks my heart. I think of many who are sick, they're dying, they're bedridden, and their only real problem. It looks physical. The doctor's giving them medicine, and they call it physical. But the real problem is morally and emotionally. They have fallen apart because of their sins. They have fallen apart because of their sins. Well, now the lines are open. To get this free booklet, you say, I don't want this booklet. Well, I can understand. You'd rather go to hell than read the truth and repent. Is that right? Is that what we're dealing with? If it is, you just proceed on, friend. And I warn you, I love you. I care about you. I wouldn't be nothing but your friend for nothing in this world. No way. I care. But he that committeth fornication and adultery and all that follows sinneth against his own body. Now, here's the phone number, 1-800-338-7884. Are you there to answer or ask a question? Are you willing to take a stand in your community? Are you willing, Pastor, to say, Reverend, you are saying the truth, and I'm going to preach this to my pulpit? Are you willing to say that? Let's have some ministers to call today and agree and at least stand up with me for what we're dealing with. Will you do that? Here's an email question. A couple of months ago, you mentioned a church where a member babies from unmarried couples were blessed one Sunday. Can you tell that again? I just told it while you had already sent me an email, my friend. Right here in Charlotte, a big Baptist church, and the preacher dedicated a gob of kids that morning, a large group of kids that morning, and only one or two, I believe it was, that had the same name. The mother and dad had the same name. And so I'm telling it again. Would you have blessed the babies of the parents? I would have prayed for the babies. I would have even dedicated the babies under the circumstance that I was going to tell the congregation that this couple had repented and had asked God to forgive them and that they were getting married. You know, for them to continue in their fornication and adultery, whichever it may be, what a responsibility to put on a pastor. Have you ever thought about that? What a responsibility to put on a pastor. Here's another statement on the internet here, and then I'll take a call. It's natural for young people to think about sex. Of course it's natural. That's a physical direction in which all of our lives would take us. Now, the Apostle Paul said it was better to be married than to burn with lust. Well, I understand that. People who are full of lust, who have not got married, should pray earnestly and find the right wife, the right husband, so they don't live with this consuming desire. But these young people do not want to get married because they see their parents divorced. That's the case many times. They are afraid they'll end up with divorce. Yes, and that I can understand that. So what is the answer? Well, two people who are real Christians, who really committed their life to Christ and are now ready to commit themselves to one another, and then they don't have to worry about divorce. Divorce, it should be an unspoken term in any home. You should not dare let your husband or wife discuss divorce with you. I mean, that should be off the grid forever. You don't talk about divorce. You talk about how do we treat one another right? How do we love one another? How do we live a pure and clean life and do what is right? I'm telling you, friend, this is a horrible sin that is doing great damage to America. And I cry out with all inside of me that God will help us, that God will help us. Here is another email question or statement. Mr. Chambers, please send me the free publication of Fornication. Keep preaching the true word of God, and please keep me and Bob in your prayers. Thank you. All right, thank you, Billy. And you need to send the address. Maybe we already have it. I hope we do. Hey, thank you, Otto Rodericus. You and Joanna sending me a note of saying we love you. Hey, that's good. I like that once in a while. Oh, yes, I do like a note once in a while that says I love you. I like also to see them folks. They're precious people. Hey, Otta, come to church in the morning. You ought to be at Paul Creek anywhere. That's where you belong. Hey, you don't know him out there, so I can talk to him with love. Hey, friend, I want to tell you now that I last week told you I needed $25,000. Well, we've got 2,250 that I know relate to this. Two $1,000 gifts and two $100 and two $150. And so today I want to appeal again. Everybody out there, I'm trying to raise $25,000. And so you're going to have to listen to this for a few weeks if you don't respond and help me solve the problem, okay? I need 100, 10 people who will give $1,000. I need then, I had that written out for me here. Where is it at? What did I do? Oh, here it is. 10 people to give me $1,000, 100 to give me $100, and then 100 who would give just whatever amount you could. And that should be about $25,000. And so I'm asking everybody out there to get involved. The ladies are standing by. They'll take your call and your commitment. We'll do our best to answer your questions. We're here for your blessing. Hey, we're going to be live here shortly on camera. Can you imagine open Bible dialogue on camera after 40 plus years? This is our 41st year, and going on camera, on internet, worldwide. You go to Africa and you got a good computer and a good connection, you'll be able to see Brother Chambers on broadcast every Saturday. And we'll put up sermons too. We have a wonderful young man that videos all of our morning services on camera. And we'll put them up on camera on the internet. And you'll be able to go right into our sanctuary with us and enjoy worship. So everybody out there that loves open Bible dialogue, do your little part, okay? There's numbers of you could give $1,000 and it would just bless you and us. A numbers of you that could give $100, way more than $100 that could do it. Way more than 10 that could do the $1,000. Some of you have never given. You've enjoyed this program for many years and you just never decided, hey, I'm going to help and support. I'm going to take the burden off of his back and I'm going to put a little of it on my back. Grab your phone, okay? 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I'm waiting for your calls, and you are calling to get the material, and I'm happy about that. I do want you to have it. Very important. Fornication, listen to me now, fornication and adultery, sinning. I want you to get the message of what you do to your body. If I could get you to understand what you do to your body, I'm telling you, it wouldn't take you long to change. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. Do you understand how many people out there living in corrupted bodies, and they wonder what's wrong with their emotions, and why they are a basket case, and why they can't go to sleep without a bunch of pills, and why they run into the doctor constantly with every kind of physical problem. And there are people with just physical problems. I know that. But the majority of people out there have spiritual problems, and emotional problems, and problems because of their unclean lifestyle. I mean physically, mentally, and emotionally. You will fall apart when you live in sin. You will fall apart. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, I'm reading you the Bible. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. He that soweth to the flesh. And that's what fornication and adultery is. Sow into the flesh. He shall also of the he that sow it to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Your body will corrupt. I know many. Just plain old corrupt, unclean body. Their life is a mess. Their life is a mess, and they are desperate for healing. And the doctor gives them medicine. It don't do no good. They go to the hospital. It doesn't do any good. Most 70%, they tell me now, this is a figure that comes pretty strong, 70% or better of sick people are not physically sick. They're mentally, emotionally, or spiritually sick. And so they cannot be healed because their sickness is not physical. It's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual. So I cry out to you to turn to God. Turn to God. The eye also, the adulterer, waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguise his face in the dark. They dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one knows them, they are in the terror of the shadow of death. These are people seeking out sex from fornication and adultery. These are people following after the world and running the way of wickedness and evil. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that live in sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Therefore, we are buried with him. You say, I can't get rid of my sexual sins. Listen, therefore we are buried with him into death, that by Christ, who is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you know that you could have newness of life today? That you that are fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and lesbians and whatever your sexual sins are, that today, right now, while Reverend Chambers is talking to you, you could surrender your life to Christ. You could claim that blood of Jesus to wash you and cleanse you and make a new creature out of you. And you could be healed of all of your difficulty. No wonder the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If they have committed sins, it shall be forgiven them. Did you know the Bible said that? That's the book of James. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, there is victory in Christ. There is victory in Christ. The Bible talks about a whorish woman, and a whorish man is no different. We could use both. The Bible talks about this. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Did you hear that? A man that goes into a whorish woman, the Bible said, none that go into her shall return again. Very few men that start running around after whorish women will ever come back to their sanity. Very few men. Now, you say, I'm one of them, and you telling me I can't be saved? No, I'm not telling you can't be saved. I'm telling you it's not likely that you have the courage, and you have the repentance, and you can deny yourself and turn around and go back to God. You're the problem, not God. It's not God's grace that would fail you. It's you that are bound in this old wicked life and fornication and unclean living, and so you can't turn around. Notice the things that this verse actually says. They are in the terror of the shadow of death. This woman, this whorish woman's house, is inclineth unto death. They cannot take hold of life again, the path of life again. You find any man that's got tangled up with a whorish woman, or any woman that's got tangled up with a whorish man, and you try to help them turn around, they hardly can do it. You say, is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. God's grace can do anything. The problem is not God. The problem is this man, this woman, who've got lust all entangled in their heart until they become wicked in it, and they can't turn around. They won't turn around. They cannot make a decision that I'm willing to go back to be a clean, wholesome, and right-living person. Now, it's time for you to call with your question. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Call quickly or email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Okay? Now, quickly, let's have questions. You say, I can't talk on the phone about a subject like this. It embarrasses me. Well, then send an email. That solves it. I won't give the name. In fact, I'll give no more names. I used a couple of first names. I think that's all I used. And I'll be careful not to use anybody's name. You send your email. You send your email. I will do your best. Your body. I want to tell you about your body. Hey, listen to me. Everybody listen to me. Your body was created by the infinite hand of God Himself. Your body was created by the infinite hand of God Himself. Your body is one of the most marvelous mysteries in the face of humankind. There's nothing as wonderful as your body. He created you male and female, created you, and He created man and woman capable of having this intimate act together that produces children and that brings a great sense of satisfaction in the life of that man and woman. And sex has no other purpose but to be the celebration of a man and woman's love for each other and the creation of a family. Nothing else. When sex becomes anything else but that, one or the other, it must be the celebration of the love between a man and his wife, a wife and her husband. Anything beyond that, other than to produce children, again, with a mother and father, a husband and wife, anything beside that will tear your body apart. A homosexual will live probably normally one-third less lifespan than a person who lives clean and holy. There was a big study in the Charlotte Observer several years ago. I saved it, but man, I would never be able to find it in all of my notes. And in that study, the Charlotte Observer didn't do it. There was a report in this study of some university, some organization, and they studied the longevity of the life of well-adjusted husbands and wives who lived faithfully for one another. They didn't fornicate, and they didn't adulterate, and they didn't run about doing wicked things. They were faithful to one another, and their lifespan was considerably. I do not remember the exact, but I know it was some 10 to 20 years longer that the average couple will live where a husband and wife is faithful to one another than fornicators and adulteresses who will not be faithful. They've got to have several different efforts. If they don't like one, they move on to another, many times not even getting married. And all of this just heartbreak, heartbreak, heartbreak. Okay? We have open door here for questions, so let's hear it. We have the internet's wide open, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, call quickly to get a copy of this article. I want you to have it now. Very important, very important. It will hopefully bless your life and help you to live clean and pure. Fornication and adultery, sinning against your own body. Are you willing to read that? Are you willing to order that and read it? Are you willing to call and let me send it? It won't be on the envelope, so nobody will know you're getting it. And you can kind of dig in, and you can pray and think and try to decide, can I turn around? Can I change? Can I go back to a pure relationship with the wife of my youth? Did you know the Bible is really tough I mean, tough on any man or woman that forsakes the wife or husband of their youth. The Bible has so many beautiful things to say about a subject like this. Let me try to find this verse in Malachi. I don't know whether I can find it or not. It is a powerful verse to show what happens to a man who is unfaithful to his wife, who turns from her, who treats her with wickedness, the wife of his youth. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. Somebody find it for me in the book of Malachi, and then I will read it. I should have dug it out earlier. I got a new Bible here that hadn't got it all marked yet. So quickly help me, somebody. Here's the question. The Bible condemns fornication and adultery. At the same time, many of the Bible patriarchs had multiple wives, including King David and Solomon. Was that God's will? No, that was not God's will. No way was it ever God's will. They lived in a day when there was no great redeemer named Jesus of Nazareth. They had laws to live by, and many times they would forsake them, and God in his mercy would try to hold them going the right direction. King David made one mess out of his life. I mean, a mess out of his life, and his home was never pure again. His family was never clean again. He had one son that raped one of his daughters, and then another son killed the son that raped the daughter. And I mean, you go on and look at what came into his life because he dared to sin. Let me read you what David said, okay? Listen, this is David's own testimony. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Now that's in Psalms 39, verses 3 through 8. It was David before he repented. It was David before he repented. And David repented and called on God. He said, I'm the man. And he turned around and repented of his wicked sins. That's terrible. And you go on and find at the end of David and Solomon's life, both, they had married too many wives, and their lives were miserable. They found nothing but emptiness in it. The one beautiful thing about the Bible, God never covers sin in the Bible. If the best of men sinned, like David, then they were revealed and they were made to repent and they were made to turn around. Remember how the prophet went to David and told him the story of the man with a bunch of little lambs and he didn't use any of his own lambs, but he found somebody who had only one and he took that one from that one and took it for himself. Of course, the story was about Bathsheba and then having her husband killed. You know, I was reading that story the other day, and I began to weep. And I just wept before God. And I said, Father, how did David do something so grievous? How did David do something so grievous? I wish all of you out there could feel the grief of these wicked ways and these wicked sins. I wish you could feel them. I wish you somehow could just get a emotion of what it does to people. Can you see King David in his kingly robe with his crown on his head? And he looked like the mighty king of Israel. And the prophet of God puts his finger to his face, and David falls apart and says, I'm the man, and had to repent and make his sins right. Oh, come on, friend. Are you willing out there to make your sins right? Are you willing to turn around and come back to God? thank you for these questions I've got on the internet. I don't understand why I'm not loaded with them. I don't understand why there aren't many of you preachers that would call and say, wow, friend, thank you so much. You know, it's overwhelming. I want to read this to you. My daughter's read this because of her own experience. Malachi 2:14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness against thee, and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou didst deal treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. Now listen, God's talking to a man who was married, and he forsook his wife and went after some other woman. And God's talking to him. He said, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness against you, and the wife of your youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. How many of you know how many men who had a good wife, a decent woman? Oh, maybe she wasn't perfect. Well, there are no perfect people out there. I mean, we're all human beings. Don't you understand that? But this man had dealt treacherously against the wife of his youth. Yet the Bible says she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Ooh, I got a little woman sitting in the other room. I married her 58 years ago, be 59 on June the 5th this year. And she's the most precious thing on the face of this earth. And God has kept us pure with one another. Never touched another woman sexually in my life but that little woman of mine. You know, and I've never dealt with her treacherously. I've never dealt with her, in a way that would defile her. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. Notice that he hateth putting away. For one covetous violent, one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Now you go to Malachi chapter 2. I didn't practice reading that, so I didn't do as good of a job as I would like. Malachi 2 and verse 14, 15, and 16. Will you go read that? Will you go read that, please? That will help you. God will help you. All right, let's go to another call here. Hello, Reverend. You haven't yet mentioned the proliferation of pornography, the fuel for much of the debauchery. Well, I'm glad you called, my friend, Pat. Yes, pornography is one of the most dark things happening in our society. But I'm going to tell you right now, the problem isn't the pornography. It's the men and women who read that filth. You don't have to read that filth. I'm against that filth. I'm against the proliferation of it. I think it's horrible. I've given myself at times to work laboriously against that stuff. And I want you to know I'm against it. And I want you to know, young friend, that sends this email. But please understand, that doesn't excuse nobody. Nobody. You don't have to look at that filth. My internet is, constantly some invitation coming up on my internet to go here and to go there. And here's a woman that's looking for you. What a joy it is to have sex all weekend with a married woman. All kinds of things like that. I get them, see them all the time. But I don't want them. I said I don't want them. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy in Jesus. I thank God. I don't have some kind of purity that is above the normal. I'm just a pure man by the blood of Jesus. And that's your purity. Our purity is not because we are so good. We're so holy. Our purity is because God is faithful to us. And God by grace has washed us from our sins and made us one with him. Now here's the phone number. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Let me give them again. This toll free. 1-800-338-7884. I haven't had a call yet, I don't believe, to take you onto the program. So call quickly. The local number 704-391-0588. And then email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now 20 minutes here. a little less. Let's keep every bit of it busy. And you say, Brother Chambers, you're asking for financial help on a day when you talk about these grievous sins. Well, that ought to make you want to help give. That ought to make you say, hey, this is what America needs to hear. This is what Obama needs to hear. This is what Bill and Hillary Clinton needs to hear. This is what every politician needs to hear. And this is what the Supreme Court justices need to hear. And this is what we need to get out. And if the preachers in America, I mean the majority of them, not all, just the majority, would get in their pulpits and cry out against these kind of lifestyles and read something like Malachi 2. Where the Bible talks about the man or woman who treats their husband or wife of their youth, he calls them. That means that little woman you fell in love with as a young man, and she was so beautiful, and you chased her for maybe a year or two, or at least many months, and finally she submitted to marry you. And then a few years later, you see some other so-called doll, and here you go. And you treat her treacherously. That's what the Bible's talking about. That God is going to take care of you for that. And God's going to judge you for that. I think of men that I know that have done this to their wives and the misery they brought into their homes and their families and the damage they've done to their children. And here I am crying out to you, turn around. And those of you who are free, don't ever become bound in this lifestyle. And you young men and women who are yet unmarried, seek out the wife or husband that God has chosen for you and keep yourself pure until you are rightfully married, and then build a home together. That's the call a while ago. How do we keep people from all of this divorce and fornication? Is they get married rightly. They seek out the right person. They faithfully wait on God for wisdom. They don't just marry the first little tippy doll that comes along, that twinkles with her eyes, or the first young man that comes along that's chauvinistic and quite Romeo, I guess you would call him. Now, come on, ladies and gentlemen, find the right people, someone that is worthy of your hand, and then take their hand in marriage in a biblical way. Make sure you have a good church wedding with a pastor that is pure and holy before God, and seek out the right way, my friend. Seek out the right way. Now, call quickly, 1-800-338. The lines are ringing again. I hope they'll ring now, and let's have a bunch of good. I mean, I've been preaching. I've been laying it out at you. I've been giving it to you straight and strong, and I know somebody's going to be changed. Somebody is going to be changed. Listen to this in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'll read that again in a minute. Let's take a call here. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers.
Yes.
I was thinking just this week. I've been troubled for many years about a certain denomination. I had a minister that got involved with a woman that was the age of his oldest daughter.
Oh.
It was discovered when he had been assigned to another church.
He was a preacher man involved with some woman who was the age of his own daughter.
Yeah, his oldest daughter. And I could never understand why this denomination never corrected him or disciplined him or anything. As a matter of fact, they reassign him to a church. He divorced his wife, married this girl, and he was reassigned far away from where the indiscretion had been. Finally, someone a few years ago told me that there were never formal charges brought. I'm thinking, what about all those ministers that knew about it? How on earth? And I was thinking, they not only showed cowardice in not dealing with this, but they destroyed the church, because I spoke to a gentleman that was at that church. He said, even though he wasn't here at the time when it was found out that what had happened, many, many people left our church. And I was just thinking,
well, you know, I don't blame them. You got a church that would tolerate a man? I went to a funeral some time ago, and that was a young man, been married, pastor in a church for some years, and he had a little girl with him that looked like his daughter. And so I said, "Hey, my friend, good to see you. Is this your daughter?" And he said, "No, this is my girlfriend." I like to choke on my throat.
Wow, ministers.
And this guy pastors the Church of God, by the way, and I think he's married her now, and they're allowing him to go on.
Yeah. Well, the ministry. I was thinking while you were talking on the show, I was thinking, what can you do to challenge your fellow pastors to at least crack the door on the light?
Well, let me tell you what you do. You pray for God to save them. I don't think these kind of men are saved.
Yeah.
You can't tolerate that kind of thing if you're right with God. Your conscience wouldn't allow you to. Your conscience would eat you up. Like I've always said, as a believer walking with Jesus, I can't get away with nothing.
My wife said,
"Can you get away with anything?"
No.
If you even think about sinning, you have to repent.
I'm glad I got a God that whips me.
Yes, sirree. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we do persuade men, the Bible said.
By the way, I've got an article from a fellow named Tom Hill, who's head of a some sort of a ministry to lesbian, gay, homosexual, all that stuff. That it was in a biblical magazine, and I looked it up, and I read one of the passages, and he said that one of the great things that Judaism and later Christianity did for the world they were in is that homosexuality was rife before God's people got on the scene, and they were the great cleansing power that cleaned up, and the nations around them were eat up with it. Now our country...
Do you know that's the reason that God had Israel to completely wipe those cities clean? They couldn't even leave a child living, because they were at it with homosexuality and lesbianism. It was so unclean that the only way to move in there was to clean things up.
Exactly. And now we're headed right back into that stuff
again. Oh, America's so close. Did you hear the program last Saturday?
Some of it, yes.
I mean, our nation besieged by pestilence and sexually transmitted diseases. Did you know that we've been vaccinating children now 23 years to vaccinate them against sexually transmitted diseases? It made me ferocious when I found that out.
Well, it's amazing.
And, by the way, anybody out there that didn't get the article last week, I'll give you that one also. Our nation besieged by pestilence, and a pestilence is an infectious disease, an epidemic of it. And this man, I read it last week, that we in America have an epidemic. He called it a hidden epidemic, comprising 5 of the 10 most frequently reported diseases in the United States. An estimated 12 million men, new cases of STD occur every year in America.
Sounds like the problem is that the watchman on the tower is too busy having a coffee break.
The preachers are too busy going playing golf.
Exactly.
I love you. God bless you. Hey, friend, call me quickly. I want to hear from you. Well, here's I believe that's a long letter from Pakistan. I don't think that is someone here in the program today, but I'm really not sure of that. But I won't try to read it. It's too long for me to read. Hey, call quickly. I want to hear from you. You are in well. How did I do that? I hit something. I'll get it off in a minute here. Didn't figure out which way to turn. I'm sorry about that. God bless you, friend. Call us quickly. We are here to be a blessing to you. 1-800-338-7884. I make mistakes like that sometimes. Is that embarrassing? No. It used to. When I was a little boy, a young man, and I was so determined that I was perfect, you know. And I learned a long time ago, boy, I'm not perfect. And so I don't worry about that anymore. I just do my best to do my best. Hey, Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. I will do my best to be a blessing. And here's an email. I don't know whether to start this one or not. There's a new movie coming out this week about Noah. The newspaper Hollywood Reporter has done a review. They note the movie completely omits the name God from the dialogue. It touts Noah as an environmentalist, and it mutilates the open line of Genesis. In the beginning, there was nothing. You know, it's amazing to me what the world is willing to do with the Bible. What a shame. We got a world out there that's gone nuts. Do you know that? I mean, it's crazy. It's really crazy. Thank you for mentioning that. This new movie about Noah, don't spend your time with mess like that. What do you say? Don't spend your time in that kind of garbage entertainment. When they deny God, well, they'll pay for it, I promise you. Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. Lines are open. Internet's wide open. We're here to be a blessing. JRC@PaulCreek.org. I like that. JRC@PaulCreek.org. And then I like our toll-free number, 1-800-33-TRUTH. 1-800-33-TRUTH. We are here to be a blessing to you. And you are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, my wife just told me line two wanted me, but when I got to line two, they were not there. You got to put them on hold, Ms. Chambers. I can't get them. This is a new phone system. This is her first time. Put it on hold, doll baby. All right, let's see if she's got it there. You on the line. May I help you, please? Nope. Got to put it on hold, doll baby. Got to put it on hold, Juanita. I cannot go to it until you put it on hold. I think everybody understands that. Call us quickly. I will do my best to be a blessing. You on the air, may help you, please. Well, we lost that call. Call back, sir. Call back and they'll get you through. We got a brand new phone system and you have to do it different. You have to put it on hold and then I can go to it. And if you don't, well, I had to with the old system, I believe. Anyhow, call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, and I will do my best to be a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Any emails, any questions, anything you want to say? I've got plenty here. Let me read to you what I was reading while ago while you are calling, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You say, I'm a fornicator, God will forgive you. I'm a homosexual, God will forgive you. I'm a lesbian, God will forgive you. I'm an adulteress, God will forgive you. I've lived in this 40 years, God will still forgive you. But I could never break it. I know, but he can. The grace of God will make a new man out of you. The grace of God will make a new man out of you. You will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. Now, call quickly. The person we lost while ago, we do want you to return the call. That was our fault somehow. Call back. They're learning. This is a new system. Got a new phone. It is wonderful. It really is. And by the way, when you call now, I see your name and number up on the screen. So you can't play no games on me. I like that. I see your name and number right in front of me. I'm not going to call it. Don't worry. Yeah, I'm not going to embarrass nobody. We're here to be a blessing to you. 1-800-338-7884, local number 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, okay? Now, you need to call quickly. I'm sitting here to be a blessing and trying to warn you to turn from your sins and to turn to Christ with all of your heart and what it will do for you if you will do that. And telling you that regardless of where you are living in the sinful state, he will cleanse you. I didn't finish that verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Listen, redeemeth. You say, I'm dying with AIDS from homosexuality. He'll redeem you from destruction. He said it. That's in Psalms 103:4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Listen, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. My wife and I have had the most horrible case of the flu. Been 3 weeks now. We're just coming out of it. I mean, just coming out of it. We have been so deeply sick. I mean, it has been horrible. But God has brought us back. And I'm telling you right now that I'm going to feel better than I felt before it started. I told the devil right in the middle of it. I said, devil, we're going to make you sorry that you brought this on us. We're going to come back healthier. We're going to come back happier. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back more devoted. And I believe that has already happened. I feel it sitting here right now with none but love and yearning to be a blessing to you. That's all. I mean, all I feel is love and a yearning to be a blessing to you. I want to help you get rid of your sins and get out of that sinful mess that you're in and turn to God with all of your mind and heart. I mean, turn to God with all of your mind and your heart. And remember this now. I want to read it to you again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Brother Chambers, I'm so sick from living in adultery for 30 years. I left my sweet wife and married some other woman after living in fornication. And we've been living together all these years. And now my body has turned on me and I'm dying. You turn to Christ. You get out of that adulterous situation. I mean, get out of it. You don't have any choice if you want to go to heaven. Do you hear me? You can't die in adultery and go to heaven. If you die in adultery, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Do you understand that? You say, Brother Chambers, you shouldn't be playing like that. You think I'm going to let you go to hell and it'll be my fault? And me not telling you the truth? I cry out to you, friend. It's time to seek the Lord with all of your heart and love Him. Where is that scripture you were just reading? That's in Psalms 103. Psalms 103, okay? Thank you, my little friend. Psalms 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with love and kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, man, is that the kind of life you want? That's what I'm here to preach to you today. That's what I'm here to tell you about. I'm here to tell you that Jesus will turn your life around and make a new person out of you. What can wash away my sins? I got to find that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes you white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, I'm reading now, that maketh me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I bring this program to a close telling you, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus wants to change your life. He wants to make something out of you beautiful and marvelous and great, and you will never be the same when His grace gets through with your life. He cares about you. He really does care about you, and He will change your life. I thought I had music here, and I can't find it. I don't know where it is. Come on here. God's grace and God's mercy is wonderful indeed. Wonderful indeed. Oh, the beauty of the grace of God. Love you, friend. Don't miss next week. You are special to us. What in the world? How can that happen?